It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, everybody, to the Hammer and Rails podcast. With you, as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I am Ryan Bonaparte, and sad.
Yes, I am also sad. We're coming to you after two defeats at the hands of IU over the last 2 days. Purdue men lose, and Purdue women lose. The women lost today, recording this on Sunday, February 5th. So we're going to talk about both of those games. But since this is going to be a rather sad podcast, I wanted to do a little levity at the top. So I've got a question for you, Ryan. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. It's a two-part question because the first one might not apply, so I've got a pivot question just in case.
Okay.
So Casey and I were big fans and still are big fans of Coke Zero here on the pod. So Coke, if you're listening, we'd love a sponsorship. But what is your favorite carbonated beverage that is not alcohol? So you know your Coke, your Pepsi. What's your favorite pop?
My answer bounces around between two, and it changes almost weekly. Well, it changes every time I have it because I don't have pop like ever. My answers are Sprite.
Oh,
and Dr. Pepper.
Okay, I'll agree with Dr. Pepper, but man, Sprite, that's a choice.
That lemon lime flavor, so much better than Sierra Mist.
Oh, Sierra Mist, by the way, doesn't exist anymore. Did you know that?
Oh, wait, it got a new name, didn't it?
Well, it's a whole new drink. It's called Starry.
Starry,
I walked through my local grocery store like 2 weeks ago, and I saw just this like big display of this thing called Starry, and I thought it was just like some knockoff like store brand, and I just walked by it. And then I saw a commercial for it during a basketball game or something, and was like, oh, that's what that is.
Okay.
And they were giving away free samples like a week later, and I tried it. It's okay. It's better than Sierra Mist, which was trash, but it's not as good as 7-Up or Sprite.
Okay. I saw a billboard for it, I think, on my way to work one day. Because, you know, living in the South, you're never not going to find, you know, soft drinks billboards. And, like, I thought it was supposed to be, like, their attempt to replicate Mountain Dew.
Oh, no.
But that doesn't make sense now that I think about it, because Pepsi
is Mountain Dew. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's supposed to replace Sierra Mist, but it's still no 7-Up or Sprite. So,
yeah.
if I had to go, I mean, obviously, as I said, big Coke Zero fans, if I have to go one off the board that you probably, most people don't know and wouldn't expect, I would go Faygo Rock and Rye. It is a red cream soda, and it is absolutely delicious.
I cannot do anything, any soda with the word cream in it. Mm-mm.
Why?
It just tastes wrong to me.
Okay.
Okay, it's like the people who put milk in their Coke.
What?
That's a thing, yeah. People will combine milk and Coke, and it's a big Southern thing.
That sounds awful.
It's like cream soda.
No, it's not.
Without the fruity. Yeah, that's their reasoning.
That is insane.
But I'm with you that is absolutely... Nope.
Did you see what Tom Hanks did the other day? He talked about it on the Colbert's show, Late Night.
I think I've seen this before.
It was part Diet Coke and part champagne.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And Colbert had it and actually said it was pretty good. And one of my podcasts I listened to, the host tried it like live during a recording and was like, this is actually pretty good. He called it a diet. Tom Hanks called it a diet cocaine because and champagne. But that was I don't know if I'll be trying that one anytime soon. So
definitely a choice.
Yeah, yeah, a choice for sure. So the second part of the question, which I guess isn't as relevant since you did answer the first one. You know, you never know if anybody's going to be a pop drinker. So I wanted to have a pivot, but I'll ask it anyway. You're going to the grocery store. There's, you know, you're in the line to check out. Someone in front of you is being really slow. So, of course, you're standing there looking at the candy. What candy are you grabbing?
Ooh, I'm grabbing a Twix bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Solid choice.
Yeah, that's the go-to, like, king-size candy bar for me that, you know, you'll see at a grocery store. I think that or a Payday.
Ooh, see, I can't get behind the Payday. I really love peanuts, especially
my dad.
It's all peanuts all the time in a Payday.
Fair, yeah, and it's my dad's fault. He instilled that one on me.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah,
my first choice again is Twix.
Good choice.
Left or right doesn't matter.
Well, how very centrist of you.
The
grocery store I shop at that's down the road, you know, just like every grocery store, they have this random like clearance rack, which is just a bunch of gobbledygook, like who knows what's going to be on there any given day. The other day they had just an open box of Twix candy bars, and each package was like 37 cents.
All right.
And I was like, I will be taking one of these with me to go home. And it was a delightful little snack. So good choice. For me, I think if I'm going with ones that are just, you know, always at the checkout, I may go Skittles.
Okay.
Skittles is just the top-notch candy, in my opinion. And then if I'm going for something chocolate, there's just so many good chocolate candies. You know, maybe I'll go unexpected. Maybe I'll go Three Musketeers. I think that's an underrated candy bar. If there's 100 grand that's full size, that's what I'm going with. But you don't often find the 100 grand just like hanging out at most grocery stores.
Yeah. Sometimes specialty.
Yeah. But that's to me probably the number one underrated candy. I love going trick-or-treating with my son when people have those. I'm like, yes, get a bunch of those, big dude, because I'm going to be eating those.
There you go.
Yeah.
So can we take a second to realize how much of a ripoff getting two peanut butter cups is for like the size or for the price of a full size candy bar?
Yeah, it's a bit of a screw job for sure, but Reese's knows they can do that because they're so popular.
Yeah, when you have Will Arnett doing your commercials.
That's right. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. But everybody knows that the special holiday Reese's are much better.
Oh, superior. Absolutely.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're just fresher. I don't know if it's the ratio to peanut butter to chocolate, because there does seem to be much more peanut butter in the holiday ones, but you know, you can't beat a holiday Reese's. This is a combined here. In past years, Pepsi has done a Peeps flavored Pepsi, like a Peeps flavored soda, but it's only been like you could only order it online or you had to like win it in a contest. But apparently this year they're actually putting it out at certain, I think, Walmart and Target stores. So as someone who loves Peeps, I know that's a divisive opinion. I'm really looking forward to trying that.
I cannot stand. The only nice thing about Peeps is putting them in your microwave and you get a show.
Yeah, you do.
The only thing.
I
hate Peeps.
I get I'm in the minority opinion. I get it. But I'll defend Peeps till the day I die. I think they're delicious. I think they're delicious. But, you know, everybody's got to take their L's sometimes. And that leads us right into this weekend, Ryan. Oh, boy. So let's start with the women. I was only able to watch a little bit of the game. I followed most of it on Gamecast. Ryan, I know you watched more than I did. Can you tell me what happened in the first half when the game was actually a little bit close?
Yeah, so the IU women's team came out pretty strong. I believe they got out to a 7-0 start.
Yeah, I believe so.
And it looked a little bleak at that point, but then steadily the shots started coming for Purdue's team. Abby Ellis was scoring a lot early, and they were starting to finally lock down the IU shooters, who I believe their best player didn't get a shot off until sometime in the second quarter. So that's effective if your best player doesn't shoot the ball. So they went into halftime down by 5. They had the lead at certain points in the second quarter as well. So it was a pretty tight game. And then the wheels fell off.
Yeah. And for
third quarter.
For those that don't follow women's basketball, IU is very good. They're currently ranked 4th. Yes. They're 22-1 after this game. And they really, I mean, they have turned that program around over the last probably 6-7 years, if not more. But, I mean, they have just really become one of the top teams, not just in the Big Ten, but in the country. And it's one hell of a turnaround.
And found out today that their head coach is a Purdue grad.
Yep, that is correct. That is correct.
So, and she, after the game, actually gave big praise to Katie Gerrards. So about, you know, how she could be the next person to turn around a program in Indiana like that. However, before then, there was still a game to be finished. And as I alluded to, the wheels just fell off in the third quarter.
Oh, the third quarter Indiana was a nightmare.
Yeah, Indiana outscored Purdue 19-2 in the quarter.
Yeah.
So, not great.
The game was over after that. I mean, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you go into halftime, you're only down 5, and then you get outscored by 17 in the third quarter. I mean, just pushed the lead to 22. Ultimately, Purdue lost 69-46. You know, the fourth quarter, they came back, they only... they were outscored 19-18 in the fourth, but so that looks respectable. But man, that third quarter, the wheels, as you said, just completely fell off. Just an absolute nightmare for Purdue. Couldn't hit anything in that third quarter.
Right. Yeah, and this was the third time they've ever sold out Mackey for a women's game. And kudos to the students, the bank crew for getting there and showing up for a team that's honestly on the rise in this Purdue women's team. Gabby mentioned it earlier in a past podcast, but they're making headway to get up to a consistently good program, which is all you can ask for.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially as we said on that podcast as well, especially given the depths that they fell to in the last years of the Sharon Versip era, you know, just completely fell off. So, very unfortunate that happened to the program, but I do hope Katie Gerrards is the person to lead us back. So we'll keep an eye on the women as they move forward. But obviously right now we've got to talk about the sadness that was losing to IU. You know, it's never a good feeling losing any game. But losing to IU is particularly bad. Losing to IU when you're ranked number one, it's worse. It's bad on top of worse on top of awful. You know, you're making a pile out of just awfulness. So IU beats Purdue 79-74. And it was the first half that doomed Purdue without a doubt. The start of the game,
exactly.
The start of the game, just IU came out on fire. They came out ready to play. The crowd was behind them. And I don't know if it was Purdue wasn't prepared or the environment took them out of it. You know, we are starting two freshman guards. Mm-hmm. But Purdue just could not get anything going to start the game. I mean, Ryan, you wrote the game wrap for us. What exactly happened in that first half?
Yeah, they looked rattled. So the game for the first, 5 minutes or so until the first media timeout, it was pretty close. I think it was 10-11 at the end of the or at the first media timeout. So they came out and it sort of looked like it was just going to be a boxing match between Trayce Jackson-Davis and Zach Edey. It ultimately pretty much was. But I think the very first time that Purdue got a foul called on Zach Edey, it changed the complexion of the whole game. It was an offensive foul called on Zach Edey against Trayce Jackson-Davis. You knew instantly that this was going to be that kind of game. So it just seemed to rattle everyone and just the crowd. All credit goes to Indiana and their fans for bringing, you know, a crowd to the game that came out in numbers and was loud. Now, it pushed a little bit past loud later on, but I digress.
Right.
So you saw it in Fletcher Lawyer, you saw it in Braden Smith, and you saw it in everybody except Zach Edey. They just played timid. So there were points where Mason Gillis was wide open for a dunk. He was under the basket. He dribbles again and travels.
Yep.
Because you fear Trayce Jackson-Davis blocking him. He's probably the best blocking forward in the Big Ten. You know, no two ways around it. So everyone seemed to play timid, and just there was a 10-0 run for Iowa, 10-0 run for Indiana, and just it spiraled. Zach Edey got a second foul. Trey Kaufman-Wren came in.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Kaufman-Wren could not hold his own against Trayce Jackson-Davis.
No.
He was just getting bullied in the paint, and it just kept spiraling. Purdue kept turning the ball over, which led up to easy, fast break points for Indiana. And at halftime, it was a 15-point deficit, and the place was roaring.
Yeah. I mean, everything that could have gone wrong in that first half did go wrong for Purdue. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was exactly what we talked about that we were afraid of, that IU would come out hot, that the crowd would get behind him, that Purdue would be timid or scared, and that they wouldn't be able to recover. As much as we hate IU, as much as we're rooting against them every single time, we'd be unfair and we'd be idiotic to not point out that they have talent and that Assembly Hall is a tough place to play. I don't think anyone denies them that. Even when IU is bad, it's a tough place to play. For Purdue, I should say. You know, it's different when other folks come to town, but for Purdue, it's a rivalry game. The energy in that building when Purdue comes in is nothing but anger. And in that first half, Purdue was missing free throws. Purdue was turning the ball over. Purdue was timid about taking shots. You pointed out the Mason Gillis one, but especially on the perimeter too. I mean, guys were trying to be unselfish, I think, which is the way the offense runs. But at a certain point, somebody's got to take the shot. I thought that was particularly evident with Braden Smith. Granted, I mean, he took a lot of shots. He was 1-for-8. Very unfortunate offensive game for him. But There were times, especially in the second half, where he really did have an open look from three, and he just failed to take it, made that one extra pass, which sometimes works out for you. You know, he wound up with 6 assists. But
when
you have a defense like IU, who is very fast, they're very quick to rotate, you have to take the shot when you have it, because you're not always going to get a better one. Sometimes you have to settle for a good shot, because you're not going to get a great shot.
Right. Yeah, and speaking of the defensive rotations, that's another thing Purdue struggled mightily with in this game. They would double. Anytime Trayce Jackson-Davis got the ball, they would double. Now, normally when Purdue doubles, they are pretty good at rotating and making sure that there's not an open person in the corner shooting a three. That happened multiple times. It was, I think, Miller Kopp twice.
Yeah, Miller Kopp, I know for sure.
Trey Galloway.
Yeah, Galloway was the other.
Yeah, I think Trey Galloway got one of his two.
Yep.
So, three different made threes from that, and just they couldn't rotate effectively, and it led to a lot of easy baskets for Indiana,
yeah.
who I think shot 65% at the end of the game. That's not great.
No.
Or not end of the game, end of the half. Sorry.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So they were shooting 65% from the floor at halftime.
Yeah.
So it was the best offensive half for Indiana combined with the worst half for Purdue.
Yeah.
And it looked like an insurmountable lead.
Yeah, it really did. And, you know, as you said, 50-35 was the score at halftime. Purdue down 15. And that 35 points for Purdue, not really that bad when you look at what they've done throughout the season. You know, there are games where Purdue hasn't broken 70, so when you get 35 at halftime, right. you're like, okay, you know, that's not terrible. Mm-hmm. But Purdue has not allowed anyone to score more than 70 points up until this game. They'd allowed 70 to Marquette. They'd allowed 70 to Minnesota when they won 89-70. But even in their loss to Rutgers, they only allowed 65. And so, you know, they allowed 70 to Michigan. But again, no one had scored more than 70 against this Purdue team. And then to allow 50 in the first half, you wondered if IU was going to put up 100.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Spirits were down, let me tell you, as the guy who tweets for the site. Though the mentions were not good, they were not fun,
nope.
And not only was it IU fans popping in to jaw, you know, it was Purdue fans who, despite Purdue being the number one ranked team in the country, and up at that point we were 22-1, a lot of, oh, Matt Painter getting outcoached again, he never comes up in a big game, blah, blah, blah. It's like, shut up. We are 22-1, we're the unanimous number one team in the country, we're going into our rivals' arena, they are ranked to play them. It is going to be a tough game. You are not going to win every game. You are not going to waltz to a victory every single game. Take it a step back, is what I want to say to those people.
Yeah. And I don't know the exact numbers, but I want to say that Trace Jackson Davis had like 18 going into halftime, somewhere around that.
That feels, you know, right.
Just right around the 21. Yeah. So Trace Jackson Davis was getting every lob it seemed possible from his teammates and making it work. So, like you said, it looked bleak going into halftime. Then the Corgi races happened, and everyone was happy about the Corgi races. So, then second half started, and something changed. Purdue decided to score the ball by protecting the ball and to get the ball to Zach Edey. It was pretty effective, considering Zach Edey finished the game with 33 points and 18 rebounds. I mean, that's a pretty good day.
Yeah, that's a great day. And as you said, I mean, he had a few minutes there in the first half where he was saddled with foul trouble. Right. And so he was kind of coming in and going a little more than you would have expected during a normal game. But it's tough to see a performance like that from him and ultimately not have it come out in a victory.
Right.
One other thing we didn't mention about the first half, Ethan Morton got two fouls within about 4.5 minutes of the game. And so that sent him to the bench for a little while. He only ended up playing 21 minutes in the entire game. So losing him defensively was definitely a blow because Purdue was, I believe, down 13-10 when he got his second foul. And then, as you said, you know, IU had gone, that was the beginning of IU's 10-0 run to really take command of the game. Just a lot of things really did go wrong for Purdue in that first half.
Yeah, I think, so at that point, that's when Brandon Newman started coming in. And I think Brandon Newman held his own pretty well. It's just Brandon Newman, it's when you start having to switch everybody and do the rotation that he can get lost.
Yeah.
If he's an on-ball defender, he can defend pretty well. He's got the lateral quickness to keep up with anyone.
He's got long arms, too.
Yeah, and you saw with Jalen Hood-Schifino, I believe he ended with 16. I want to say he only had 4 at halftime. So the drives from him was not the issue. It was when they started spreading the ball around, and if one person doesn't rotate, that's when you get an open 3.
Right.
And that was what was happening.
Yeah, yeah. So enough of the first half. Let's talk about the second half. Purdue coming out, they're down 15. But signs of life, you know, they play much better on both ends of the court. As I said, they allowed 50 points in the first half, the entire second half, 29 points. So, I mean, just imagine that kind of effort in the first half, what this game could have been. But who or what exactly stood out to you in the second half that was different on either side of the ball, offense or defense?
Well, I think what you saw on the defensive side of the ball was they stopped double teaming. They played straight up defense and told the bigs to come at Zach Edey. He had 2 fouls at that point. He picked up his 3rd on another offensive foul. That was probably one of the worst calls of the day, but they started daring them to come at Zach Edey, and Zach Edey wasn't budging. He was not allowing those inside shots to fall. And Trayce Jackson-Davis had to get crafty if he tried to score in deep. Every one of his points came in the paint.
Yep.
But if he tried to go at Zach Edey, he was not getting close. He had to go around Zach Edey to get close. And it's so much more difficult when you have to actually go around someone than going straight over someone who's small.
Right, right.
So Trayce Jackson-Davis, he ended with 25, so if I was correct, with 18 at halftime, he's only scoring 7 in the second half. That's a win.
Yeah. Well, and you look at the game Jackson Davis had offensively, and if you just look at the box score, you're like, oh, he had a great game, 25, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 5 blocks. But you dig deeper into the box score, he was 9-for-19 from the field. Nine of 19. Compare that to Zach Edey, who conveniently also took 19 shots. Edey was 15 of 19. He grabbed 18 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks. So I understand Trayce Jackson-Davis is very good, but I'll take the guy who can score 33 on 19 shots versus the guy who scores 25 off 19 shots.
Yeah, and Edey took 5 less free throws, too.
Right, right.
So...
There's a couple points I want to make before we could talk about this game all day. I was very disappointed in the fact that Mason Gillis, you know, committed a foul, and it wasn't a necessarily dirty foul or a hard enough foul.
But clean.
Yeah. And as he is coming back to the hoop, Trayce Jackson-Davis literally pushes him, and Mason Gillis' face is like, is this guy really think he's going to do this to me?
I would take Mason Gillis in that fight 10 times. Oh, absolutely.
I'd take Mason Gillis in a fight against anyone on either of these teams, personally. Unless maybe Edey.
Yeah, take the guy with the barbed wire tattoo.
Yeah. The only one I would maybe take Edey in a fight just for the reach. But if Gillis can get inside, I think it's over. But, I mean, refs didn't really seem to do anything. No technical, no nothing. And overall, the refs did not cost Purdue this game. I want to make that clear. Purdue's first half performance did. But then, you know, Painter said in the post game there were at least 3 occasions where things were thrown onto the floor and into their huddle, once including apparently a donut with rainbow sprinkles.
Apparently it was a bagel.
Well, I've heard both.
It was a rainbow bagel. Yeah, I've heard both as well.
So I don't know.
Someone took a picture of it.
Oh, who did?
Yeah, one of the fans actually had a baggie, and it was in there, and they took a picture of the bag.
Okay, so it was a bagel. It was a rainbow bagel.
It looked like, I mean, yeah, it was some sort of bread based product.
Either way, I have a couple of complaints. One, they're clearly not selling that at Assembly Hall, so that person snuck that in. And two, if it's a donut, you eat the donut. Like, what are we doing here? And even third, if it is a rainbow bagel, I hope you've got some nice cream cheese to go with that. And
rainbow cream cheese?
I mean, yeah, maybe a birthday cake flavored cream cheese goes well with the rainbow bagel. That's what I had the last time I was in New York, a rainbow bagel with birthday cake cream cheese. And you know, like, show some class. Don't be throwing shit onto the floor. And I know you would be absolutely amazed at the IU fans who came into our mentions and said that Purdue fans yelling IU sucks is the same as throwing things onto the floor during a sporting event. And I cannot imagine someone's brain being broken that badly by sports to not realize that there is a Grand Canyon-sized gap between those two things.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just one person. There were multiple people.
Oh.
And I'm just, it's just like, what are we doing here? Like, if we can't take a step back and say, don't throw shit on the floor during a sporting event, what are we doing?
Yeah. That seems like one of those where there should not be a warning. It should automatically be a tech. And I say that in every single arena in the country. If this is a Purdue game, you throw something at the bench, you get a technical.
Yeah.
There should be no warning.
Absolutely.
Should not have to be given.
And
you should not have to taunt the student section with a technical to not get them to throw things on the floor.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just asinine.
And I will give Trace Jackson Davis credit because they showed him on the broadcast, which you can't really tell what's going on just because of the angle. But it appeared that someone had thrown something onto the floor. I believe there was a stoppage of play, and they showed Trace Jackson Davis, and he said something along the lines of, "Hey, don't do that shit," or you know, like telling people to cut it out. And kudos to him for going after his own fans, because it's what Bobby Knight used to have to do when he would take the microphone and tell them, tell the unruly IU fans to kind of get their shit in order, man, because this has been a problem at IU for decades. They chant racist things. They've done that at a Duke player. They single out players. Remember, they chanted FU Harms a few years back. And it has just consistently been a problem for IU fans. And it is just astounding that they continuously find themselves in this situation. And nothing really seems to change.
Yeah. It's just, there's no place for it in any sort of sports. There's really not. And then the people who defend it is just almost as bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Okay, so I'm glad I got that off my chest. So, you know, in the second half, Purdue found a way to catch up. You know, they got themselves back in the game. Thanks to some really good three-point shooting, David Jenkins Jr. hit two of three. Brandon Newman hit one there. Mason Gillis hit one. And suddenly the 15-point lead was, you know, very quickly down into single digits, got down to 4 and 5 a couple times, but Purdue just couldn't get over the hump,
Yeah.
And then with just a few minutes left, did the lead get all the way down to 2?
It was 1. It was 71 to 70.
Okay. And then Purdue had some turnover problems. And, you know, unfortunately, Braden Smith had one of his toughest games, and he made a turnover at the absolute worst time. Driving underneath the basket, he could have taken the shot. It would have been a very tough shot. I want that to be clear. But again,
and Davis was right there too.
Yeah, and Braden Smith had a couple shots blocked throughout this game. But it goes back to what I said earlier. You're not going to get the great shot every single time. You sometimes have to take the shot that is there, and it would have been a tough shot. He chances are he misses it. But instead what he did, he jumped up in the air, left his feet, and I believe he was looking for Gillis in the corner and just got intercepted by IU. Purdue was either down 1 or down 2 at that point. And at that point, IU went down and they scored, and then the game was essentially over. And it is really unfortunate that Braden Smith found himself in that spot, because he's played so brilliantly for Purdue all year, and to go into this environment, it's understandable that you would have a a tough game. And as I said, 1 for 8 from the floor, only one turnover, but it was at such a crucial time. And it's one of those things. It's going to be a really good learning experience for him going forward. And it's just tough to see, because the team had dug themselves such a big hole in the first half, but found a way to climb out in the second and just could not get there. It was tough. It was tough to see that happen.
Yeah. What was it, Brandon Smith who threw the ball at David Jenkins' legs, or was that Newman?
I think that must
led to like the Hood Schifino almost injury.
That was weird. Let's talk about that in a second. I believe that was Newman, because Smith was only credited with one turnover. And but I thought he had more than that, but that's what the box score says. So
yeah, it seemed like he did, but like you said, the one was absolutely crucial. He got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, and he jumped. You got to play on the court, and as a freshman, he's gonna learn that. So, I mean, I know we're gonna talk about the post game question about it too.
Yeah. Yep.
So he'll learn.
Yeah.
I mean, you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place at that point. So
yeah,
what do you do?
Yeah,
but like,
yeah. I mean, once you leave your feet, you're committed to something. You got to hope the guy who you saw was still open, or you got to make a split second decision of, I'm going to throw up a circus shot, I'm going to try to throw it off my guy to get it out of bounds. I've only got a limited amount of time here.
Yeah. And I guess props to Race Thompson for keeping his head on a swivel and snagging the ball.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have just bounced off of him and gone out of bounds.
Right.
So it's a tough play, and what are you going to do?
Yeah. You know? So with the Hood Schifino injury that wasn't really an injury, did it look like he maybe was like trying to go for a dunk, and then it might have been Morton or who was down there?
It was Morton.
And
yeah.
Like, kind of like spooked him a little?
Who didn't touch him, by the way.
Did not. Although Dick Vitale would have you think otherwise.
That's another name, but...
And then he landed funny, and then, like, it really felt like he was more embarrassed than anything. Like, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, so it looked like he expected contact from Ethan Morton, who did not touch him. Like, he was trying to jump into Ethan Morton, almost. And he never got touched, so at that point you're like, panic mode. Okay, I have to get a shot off. Missed the easy layup, and it seemed like he just hyperextended the knee when he came down.
Yeah,
but
that might have been
obviously he stayed in the game. He made some very clutch point or shots. So
yeah, I mean, especially the one at the very end.
Yeah, good on him. But yeah, it was an awkward play. Just,
yeah, yeah. So
can we please petition to never have Dick Vitale?
I was gonna say I read the post game rap. Tell me your feelings about Dick Vitale.
They are not good feelings. He sounds like if you find the crazy old man at the park and he's just, ooh, there's a cloud. Like, sounds like he's on something, like he took one too many Valium. I cannot stand listening to him. And it's an instant mute. So there are three people that it was ever like that for me. It was him, Bill Walton, and Dan Dockage.
Oh, Bill Walton is instant mute. He's bizarre. He is bizarre.
Yeah,
like there's no two ways
about
it.
He's on some sort of acid. Yeah, like he's on some sort of trip.
He's just always like, oh my goodness, what a game. And you're like, what are you watching? What are you watching, Bill?
Eats a cupcake with the wrapper still on.
Yeah, that was weird too. It's sometimes I wonder if Bill Walton is trying to get fired, and he's just like, I wonder what to let me do. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's like, he's one of those where you have to have someone on standby to actually hit mute on the hot mic with
right.
Bill Walton. You don't need that with Dick Vitale, but you just need to like channel down about 4 notches on his mic while the other announcer's fine.
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't he just get the Duke UNC game?
Well, that's where he wanted to be anyway, I'm sure. Because, you know, his buddy Robert Montgomery Knight wasn't at the Purdue IU game. But, yeah, man, I don't know. All around, just not a fun viewing experience for Purdue fans. So, last call on this IU game before we do not talk about it again.
Right. So, yeah, it was.
Oh,
not
wait,
good,
there was one thing.
Yeah, there was one more thing.
Yeah, we wanted to talk about the post game. So,
post game
press conference. You saw, Braden Smith, Zach Edey, and David Jenkins Jr. were the players that were representing Purdue, and a reporter, no shade to the reporter, doing exactly what the reporter is supposed to do, was asking about the Braden Smith turnover at the end of the game, and Braden Smith, you know, it's, I'm sure, a tough question. And he answered it as best he could, said, you know, I thought I saw somebody, I left my feet, kudos to them for, you know, being in place, well, whatever he said. And then in the video, you just see Zach Edey's super long arm go up, grab the microphone, because apparently IU can only afford one for three players, and just say something along the lines of, you know, this is, everybody's going to point to that play, it was an important play, but every play is important. There's no one play that lost us this game. Every single play is important, and we win as a team, we lose as. And I love it. It was absolutely the right thing to do as your leader, as your captain, as everything you want him to be. It was beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, Zach Edey just had a 33-18 and three-block game. He did not need to say that, but he took the mic, took blame on himself for the turnovers, which, you know, he did have, but he completely deflected the blame off of Braden Smith and onto himself. That is just true leadership.
Yeah.
You saw David Jenkins' eyes when he took the mic, like, oh my God, what is he about to say? Because you didn't know what sort of clapback Zach Edey was about to do to that reporter.
Right.
And he just, it was the perfect answer. This, the leadership of Zach Edey, he is the unquestioned leader on this team. He is by far the best player. He was the best player on the court. He's the best player in the country. What more can you ask for out of Zach Edey? I mean, it was just the perfect situation for him to do that. And he really showed what he was made of. And that is, he's made of, whatever he's made of, it's a lot of it, and it's a lot of good.
Yeah. That to me, I mean, obviously we're disheartened about the loss. As I said, I always hate losing to IU. But seeing them do that after the game at the post-game press conference really filled me with hope for how this team is going to respond to a loss. That's a tough loss. You know, I think it's, you're going to see them respond, but we'll carry this conversation over into the second half of the pod. We're going to take a look at where Purdue goes from here and kind of where the Big Ten stands as of now. We'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are back. So, as promised, we're going to take a look at where Purdue goes from here. Sitting at 22-2, currently first in the rankings. So that's my first question, Ryan. Do we think come Monday at noon, Purdue will still be number one?
I think so. It seems like it's either going to be splitting votes with Alabama or Houston again.
Yeah.
But you lost on a home or on the home court of a ranked team.
Who is your rival?
It was, yeah, their rival, and it's their Super Bowl. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, and it's only a 5-point loss, too.
Exactly. So I think they could be number one. I think absolutely one or two is what they'll be come tomorrow, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So there we go. And I we took a look at the Big Ten standings. The Northwestern Wisconsin game just finished as we were in the break. Northwestern won again, so they're sitting at 7-5, and the Big Ten standings are an absolute cluster. Purdue up top at 11-2, Rutgers 7-4, and then we've got Illinois, IU, Maryland, Northwestern, Iowa, and Michigan all at 7-5. So six teams at 7-5, and then Michigan State at 6-5, Penn State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Ohio State, and lowly Minnesota 1-11 in conference. So Purdue still has a 2.5 game lead in the conference. And coming up next for Purdue is a home game against Iowa on Thursday the 9th. So obviously we're elated to be in alone in first place, 2.5 game lead. We have got 3 road games left, and we've got 4 home games left. What are you expecting? What do you think is going to be the toughest game going forward? Toughest of the 7 remaining games.
Of those 7, I think the 2, Indiana at home is going to be tough. Obviously, they just beat us. They're one of 2 teams this year to beat us. But it's in Mackey. So that should, and I say should here, be a better environment for Purdue.
Right.
The other game that sort of gives me a little bit of worry now is actually the Illinois game.
Really? Okay.
And Illinois has come on strong lately. They've been playing some good ball. But I don't know what way that Purdue will take this Indiana loss. If it's anything like their last loss to Rutgers, they're going to win, you know, 8-9 straight games. So we'll be fine. But depending on this loss, how they take it, we'll see where they're at the end of the schedule against Illinois. Like I said, they've been playing well, so things could change by then. But I think Illinois was selected highly at the beginning of the season for a reason, and they're starting to finally show that.
Yeah. I think, you know, for me, the two that worry me the most are, of course, the IU game at home. But the other one to me is on the road at Maryland. You know, Maryland, they're not really meeting the expectations a lot of people had for them at this point. But they just kind of like, you talked about Illinois, they are putting it together a little more right now. They're one of the teams that's 7-5 in the conference, and they have done great at home. They're 12-1 at home.
Haven't lost in conference.
Right, right. So it's going to be a tough game. I hope to be in attendance at that one, as it is just not far down the road from me. So maybe I'll be a good luck charm since we beat Penn State when I was there. But the schedule looks favorable for Purdue, the remaining 7 games, simply because we do have 4 at home versus 3 on the road. With Maryland, at least we have already beaten Maryland. We beat them in Mackey. Northwestern, we have not yet played. Northwestern is playing their best basketball, you know, in years. So that one might be a little tricky. It's tough to say, but Northwestern, not exactly an intimidating environment. So you would much rather, if you're going to have to play a team on the road, going into Northwestern, not as scary as one would expect for other ones. So I just want to point out one other thing about the schedule. If you go to ESPN and look at the schedule, they give you a you know, tickets cost as low as whatever. And
I'm
really
looking at it right now. Yep.
Okay. The tickets for the IU game. Tickets as low as $703.
Yeah.
Who is paying $703 for a Purdue IU ticket?
Yeah. Some people with some serious brass in their pocket. I guess. I mean, maybe Mark Cuban wants to go.
I followed the link. It's in section 117, so you're at an angle, row 19. So, you know, you're up there, but again, not a bad seat in Mackey. It's no Assembly Hall, but man, the tickets go all the way up. Somebody has their tickets listed for $1,115.
Nice. Is that through Vivid Seats?
This is through Vivid Seats, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, man, I mean,
I don't think those are going to sell.
No, most likely not.
No, so I mean, do we still think Purdue's in the driver's seat for the Big Ten title?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have a 2.5 game lead over Rutgers right now. You play 4 games at home. If you take every home game and split your road games, you win the Big Ten. Not just tie, you actually win outright.
Right.
So you do that, but what are the chances that Rutgers and all these teams actually win out? You know, they're going to start feeding on each other. You know, some teams are going to go down. You keep winning the games you're supposed to win, and you'll be fine if you're Purdue. I think they truly are in the driver's seat. We just had the toughest game of the conference season yesterday. So I truly don't think there's going to be any test harder than that Indiana game, and they lost by 5. And they showed absolute grit coming back and getting to within 5. So I think they'll be able to take this and run with it and get title 25 and then set yourself up for the postseason.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. And I have not gone through and compared every team who is behind Purdue to compare their schedule. But obviously, you know, those teams that are behind Purdue, that cluster, not only Rutgers, but the 6 teams that are below them, you know, they will play one another. So there will be guaranteed losses in that grouping. So it's not as if even every team there, you know, can run the table. It's just not possible. So there will be losses. So even if Purdue slips up as the season, you know, finishes out with a 2.5 game lead and 7 games to go, 4 games at home, Purdue is in a great position. So yes, we're angry about losing to IU. Yes, we're frustrated, but things are not as bad as they might seem after that game. And I hope it has been a learning experience for the team. Because, you know, especially the guys who are new to the program, they had only ever lost once in a Purdue uniform, and maybe it just, they thought it was just that easy. And now they kind of got taught a lesson. And it's funny because, my wife's grandma, loves college basketball, and she's gotten into the habit of calling, either my wife or myself, when there's a big Purdue game, to just kind of be like, hey, what do you think's going to happen? How do you think they're going to do? Her thing is she loves, like I said, she loves college basketball, but she loves both Purdue and IU. So okay. You're like, okay, I always give her a little crap for that. But, you know, she, at her age, she's earned a little, you know, I'll give her the pass. She said the other day before the game, she's like, do you think Purdue needs to lose one just to kind of, you know, you think it'd be good for them to lose one? And I was like, no. I was like, no, I don't. I would, you know, I want to win them all. But now right. that they've lost one, maybe my grandmother-in-law was right. Maybe this is what they needed. maybe this will focus them up, and they'll go 7-0 down the stretch, finish 18-2 in the conference. So who knows? Do you subscribe to that theory that maybe losing one is good?
Yes. To an extent, obviously, you know, losing can help. You can find positives through losing. And here's the thing. We're talking about this. They're still 22-2.
Right.
And they still may be the number one team in the country come Monday next week. Like, they're going to be favored in every single game they play for the rest of the season, through Big Ten season. They are going to have 4 home games where they play a team that, you know, they can beat. Every single game is winnable, and it's theirs for the taking. If the freshmen don't know now what a road environment can be like, then they will never find out. If you can't figure that out from Assembly Hall in a Purdue-IU rivalry, you won't get any better environments than that.
Right, right.
So they know what it's like, and Purdue has a tendency in their losses. Now, given there's only 2, but 2 is a trend, they start slow and they can't recover. I think that is the most important thing to learn, is you have to be focused for 40 minutes of basketball. Otherwise, these teams can sneak up and they can bite you.
Yeah, absolutely. So we hope we can find a way to learn from it. The team can move forward and have, you know, a really, really good home stretch, seven games remaining. So there we go, folks. That's the recap. We tried to get some positivity in here after the upsetting losses to IU. So we hope we made you smile. We hope we made you laugh. And we'll get back with you middle of the week as we look ahead to Purdue's upcoming game against Iowa. Thanks for joining us. Boiler up, folks.
Hammer down.